Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Acts chapter 27. I want to continue in our series that we started the first week in January. And it's gone a little bit longer because we've had some interruptions and guest speakers and so forth. But I brought a challenge and from Acts 27 that I hope will be of help to us all. And it's in regard to the fact that there are very few things that you and I can control. But we can control our responses and our reactions to the things that are out of our control. And in this particular chapter, we are given so many things regarding a situation that came into Paul's life. And it wasn't the first time that he had to deal with being shipwrecked. As a matter of fact, the Bible records that three times this happened to him. But Paul was very much in control of his responses to the things that happened on this particular trip. This would be his last trip across the waters because he is going to remain in Rome, and there he's going to stay for several years, and he's going to die for his faith in Jesus Christ. Again, things totally out of his control, but he responded in a godly way, and what a lesson it is for all of us. You know, early in my ministry, I thought that I could control more things. And I found out very quickly that there were a lot of things out of my control. When you're young and you just graduate from college, you've got all this wisdom, right? And you think, boy, I'm going to take all this wisdom that I've learned over my, you know, in my case, almost 5 years of undergraduate work. It wasn't because I was slow. It was because I transferred in and many of my credits did not apply to the degree track that I was in. So I had to go back and do a lot of backtracking and filling in for my music and Bible degree that I got from Bob Jones University. And it took me extra year. And so I didn't get to graduate with my class. I graduated with the class after that. But, you have the idea, I can conquer anything with my vast wealth of knowledge. And I found out that that dried up very quickly. My first year of teaching, I met several parents that I thought were going to be really sweet and nice with me and found out that they weren't sweet and nice. And I had one parent got up in my face and said, "You don't look any different than my child in high school." And I said, "Well, sir, I can't help my looks." I said, "I know I'm rather underweight. And I know that I look like a high schooler, but I am 23 years of age. And I expect your son to, respect the teacher." Well, that didn't go over very well. How can he respect somebody that looks just like him? Well, I went home, and I was ready to write a letter of resignation to Dr. Hobbs. I said, God can't expect me to teach high school when I look like a high schooler. And so the Lord said, You just be faithful. You just do what you're supposed to do. And I learned very quickly that I needed to respond better. I needed to respond better to those challenges. And I needed to do more praying. That was a wake-up call. I wasn't praying like I should. I wasn't going before the Lord with my students like I should. I wasn't going before the Lord with my parents. Teachers, are you praying for your parents? They've entrusted you with their kids during the day. They deserve to be prayed over. And so took on that responsibility, started praying, and you know what the Lord began to do? He helped me to respond rightly to those situations that would arise in my life that were out of my control. Now, I want to help you here tonight as we consider Paul's responses to the things that were out of his control. I want to give you the first two tonight, and we have time, we'll get into some of the other ones. But I want you to look at verse 9, at this first one. And that was in regard to his actions, dealing with things out of his control. Would you look at Acts 27 and verse 9? "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul did what? He admonished them." All right. Now, remember that, storms are out of our control. Earthquakes are out of our control. We've watched the horrible footage that's coming out of Syria and Turkey, and nearly 30,000 people that are dead, and they were still finding bodies of people that were still alive. Two women have given birth in the rubble to children. I just cannot imagine that. And trying to care for a baby as you're squashed between layers of a high-rise building. And it's just unbelievable carnage and destruction. No one can control an earthquake but God. I remember when Roger and I went to Mexico in 1986, we stayed with a missionary in Mexico City, and he was on the ninth floor in an apartment building, and we got to the ninth floor after going up the elevator. We had all of our luggage, and we got in there, and he said, Todd, I'm going to need you to sleep over here. And I looked over there, and there was a two-foot-wide gap in the wall. There was no sheetrock, and you could look down, and you could see the next floor below. And I looked at missionary David Cox. I said, David, are you sure you want me? What if I roll over wrong? I'm going to go down this hole. You know what he told me? Don't roll over. All right. I said, well, that's not in my control. I mean, I just do stuff when I'm asleep. I'm a heavy sleeper. All right. My wife can hear a fly in two bedrooms away, and she'll get up and go, she'll bump me. Did you hear that? And I'm waking up. No, I don't hear that. All right. And she can hear things. I can't hear a thing. One of the blessings of having a hearing impairment is that you don't hear things. And you can sleep like a baby until your wife punches you and said, did you hear that? All right. And there, I've been on escapades out in my front yard looking for evil characters that are lurking on our street because of some noise that was heard on the window or whatever. And, you know, somebody, I thought I heard somebody knocking on the door. And so I go get my two buddies, Smith and Wesson, and we go over to the door and we check on that. I didn't see anything, honey. Go check again. All right. Well, I'm a heavy sleeper. And so I told him, I said, I don't know if I like this idea of sleeping by this huge door. He said, well, it's all the way down the building, this crack. This building went back and forth almost 15 feet in the earthquake that took place in 1985, the year before. And I said, are they going to repair everything in this building? Oh, we don't know yet. All right, that was a year later. And so I was a little on the, you know. Roger didn't have to sleep by the crack. David evidently liked Roger and allowed him to sleep on the couch. I was on the floor by the huge hole. So I don't know if they set me up for that or what. Did y'all talk ahead of time with him about where the sleeping arrangements? But anyway, I'll never forget that. Now here is the Apostle Paul, and things are getting really dicey. The weather is deteriorating. And how does he respond? Paul admonished and said unto them, verse 10, sirs, I perceive this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Now God had allowed the Apostle Paul to be on that ship in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea and a huge storm, Euroclydon, comes along. Let me just say this, folks. This nonsense that you hear on TBN, oh, if you'll just send your offering in, we will guarantee you'll have a problem-free life because we're gonna send you a handkerchief that Rod Parsley has wiped his sweat off his brow with, and we're going to send it to you. It's got special power. All right? That's nonsense. But you know people are whipping out the wallet and calling the 800 number and get, well, I'm going to get that handkerchief. I don't want problems in my life. Guess what? You're going to have problems and a handkerchief from Rod Parsley. It's not going to make any difference. There are people today that somehow believe that they can live above trouble and problems, that somehow they'll be sheltered from all that. God sent Paul all the way across the Mediterranean, put him through a storm in which the ship was dashed upon the rocks and preserved everyone that was on that ship as a testimony. And Paul was able to preach on that island to those pagans that were there. And then he was able to get aboard another ship and make it all the way to Rome and preach the gospel to Caesar. But it wasn't a problem-free trip. Now, how did he respond? How did he respond to all this? It's easy for us to blow up with God. How in the world, God, do you expect me to speak to Caesar when I'm having to deal with a shipwreck? Lord, we at least could have made it across the Mediterranean. No. Because you see, God has a greater purpose in our lives. Are you listening to me now? God has a greater purpose. But I was in the hospital one time, and I was up on the maternity ward. I was visiting somebody in our church here that just had their baby, and the baby was healthy and strong. And I look down the hallway, and I see a young man that I played ball with growing up, same age as me, weeping. So I went down the hallway, and I said, "Tim, are you okay?" Voice just shaking. "My wife just died giving birth to our child." And the door was opened. Team of doctors were in there and they were pulling the sheet over the top of her head. She was gone at 37 years of age. Brain aneurysm. A blood vessel burst and she was gone. That little boy now is 22. I ran into his brother just the other day, came in to register his kids for baseball, and the little brother is 22 now. Tim was able to remarry several years, but he raised that little baby, took him home, and for 6 years without a mama raised that little boy. Tim is a lay pastor in Texas right now. God called him to preach after that. He didn't have all the formal training, but God worked in his heart, and he's been ministering in a church in Texas that hasn't had a pastor for years. And so the church asked him, "Would you be our pastor?" And God's using him. And that little baby boy, now is 22, is helping out in that church. Now, I don't understand and I don't know why God allowed that mother to die in childbirth. But we will know one day when we get to heaven. And I know this, God received glory to His name in doing that. Can God get glory in sending a shipwreck for the Apostle Paul? The answer is yes. Can God get glory in taking a wife and a mother who just gave birth to a child and then she dies of a brain? Can God get glory in that? Yes. But you have to step out of your shallowness to understand that. Oh, we're so shallow. We want everything instant. We want things just flying off the shelves for us. We want things to just happen like we want them to happen. And then when all these things come into our lives, we start blaming God for all of it. How dare we? How dare we? You have no idea how God chooses to bring glory to His name. Do you understand that, Christian? You and I, as we are in this auditorium tonight, we have no idea how God chooses to bring glory to His name. And sometimes it may be your suffering. It may be your hurt. It may be your pain. It may be something that comes into your life that you do not understand or cannot grasp, but God's bringing glory to Himself as you journey through that difficult time. How are you going to respond? How are you going to respond? Paul did not panic. God had told him what was going to happen. How well do you receive bad news? Most of us aren't very good at it. It's not easy to receive bad news. We want to hear good news. You know, you want to hear good news that egg prices are going down. All right? Now, I haven't been egg shopping lately, but the prices are, $7.99, I think I saw the other night at Walmart for a dozen eggs. Is it gone down? What is it now? What is it? You're saying, no, it's not $7.99, but what is the price? 450? All right. So I can't read labels. Yeah. But I know it's more than what we used to pay. Amen. Good news would be, woo, prices are going down. Right now, chicken is the cheapest meat. I heard that on Fox News. So I know they're always right. Okay. Yeah. Steak prices, however, are 40% higher than what they were a year ago at this time. Extremely costly for those. We want good news. We want good news. Sometimes it's not good news, Mr. Cheerleader and Miss Cheerleader. Sometimes it's higher prices. You can't go as far with the check. And how are we going to respond to that? Are we going to hit the panic button? Paul said he knew what was going to happen because God showed him that the ship was going to be crashed, and if they all stayed on the boat and didn't try to leave, they would all be saved. So he admonishes them. He tells them what's going to happen. Did they listen right away? No, they did not. That brings us to the second one. And that was his words. His words. He told them the truth. Why do people lie and say things that are not true? Right before the church service, I found out that they shot down another object. I love that, you know, don't you? There was an object that was floating over Lake Huron. And they sent another jet up, they shot it down. That makes what, four now that have been shot down? How many of you have had the... All right. How many of you have thought, something's up? Okay. This is not normal for us to be shooting down objects. All right. They said one pilot said it was a cylindrical object the size of a small car. All right. Now, I don't know. There's a lot of things I don't know. I don't know yet about the first balloon that was shot down. They gathered up a lot of material, and they're still working on it, but because of the storm that front that just went through, they had to call off operations until tomorrow. And they're going to go look down there. They said there's something the size of a bus down there that they've got to retrieve and bring back up to the surface. And they will find out, you know, what was going on. But this is not normal activity. And some people have already chewed their fingernails down to the quick. What are we going to do? What if the Chinese send a balloon over and it has a bomb? A dirty bomb. Or maybe they'll bring it over and they'll spray us with something and we'll all get sick and die. You've heard some of the pundits about that. I don't know. But Paul says, I know. God told me. He said, we're going to suffer ill, not only of the ship and the lading, but also what? What's that last phrase? What does he say? Also of ourselves. Yeah. We may suffer damage. Some people are, well, you're just stirring up the people where they're going to get, they're just going to be, go crazy with all of this danger talk. But he was honest. He was honest. How do you respond? Do you respond honestly? Or do you always paint the pretty picture? Some people are masters at bad news and they can make it into good news. Isn't that amazing talent? To be able to put a smiley face on everything? You know, sometimes we need to be told, actually, all times, we need to be told the truth and then process it. I have seen more crying liberals, videos on YouTube of people crying because of something in the news. Something that happened and tears just poured out. You know, what is going on? That people cannot handle bad news or good news. They don't know how to handle it. The problem is we've not been truthful. We've not been truthful. You know, in my second grade year, that was a traumatic year for me. because I had a lot of come to Jesus meetings that year. And my mom exercised the paddle of knowledge on the seat of learning. All right. And that year, my goodness, my second grade year, Mrs. Wingrove. Any of you ever have flashbacks to school? Kevin? No, wait, you wouldn't have any flashbacks back to school, would you? Flashbacks at moments in time. I remember the moment that I was cheating on a test. I had answers written out on a piece of paper, and I had taken my handkerchief, popped it out, put it on top. No teacher's going to see that, right? They're not going to be the least bit, you know, what's a handkerchief under Todd Brainerd's desk, perfectly laid out over. I can see through the white, handkerchief. There's writing underneath there. And I had coughing fits and nose runs. And I was getting up. And the last time I did that, I got back up in my seat to write down the answer, and my test was gone. Yeah. All right? Bad news. Mrs. Wingrove, have you seen my test? Yes, I have, Todd. It's on my desk. And there's a red zero on it. And I'm calling your mom. Man, I was writing my epitaph. And on that epitaph it says, do not ever use a handkerchief over the top of answers to a test question. Don't ever do that. You will die. All right? Wow. Now, I went home, and it was a very traumatic time. All right? I'm just going to leave it at that. But I learned something. It's embedded in my mind. Don't cheat. Don't cheat. Just be honest. Take the grades that you get. Don't cheat. And I never did it again. Never did it again. God made sure that I was caught. And I've said this to students through the years many, many times. Thank God you were caught! Because maybe now you'll stop and you won't do it again. Thank God you were caught. Some people worm away from bad news and run just as fast as they can. But Paul used his words to communicate what was going to happen, to stay on the ship, as we're going to see later, and they would be preserved. He told them the truth. Would you bow your heads, please? Dear Father in heaven, there are many things out of our control. We know this by experience. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand that how we respond to those things out of our control are instructing people all around us. Children, teenagers, adults, they're watching us to see how we're going to respond. I pray, Father, that you would work in our hearts to help us to realize that we need to be living in such a way that we realize that people are watching us, they're observing us in the good times, but also in the difficult times, and how we respond to things out of our control. I thank you so much for the example of the Apostle Paul. In his actions and in his words, he demonstrated that you, his Lord, was in charge of everything. Help us to live that way, dear Father. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.